finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, everyone? Steve Larson, Sales Funnel Radio. You know, a couple years ago, I was doing a consulting thing for this company in... Well, I won't say where. Actually, I was on a plane for a bit, landed, got there, and it was with a business that was just exploding in all the right ways, you know. And they were like, "Hey, we want to use the internet better. Could you come show us about how to do that?" And as I did that, you know, I was in front of the whiteboard. I sat down there, and there's a gentleman there who. You know, I have respect for questions. I think questions are incredible. But you know, like when someone asks, it's almost like, I don't want to say too many questions because theoretically there's no, you know what, then screw that. There is such thing as a dumb question. Dumb questions are the questions you spend no time trying to figure out on your own. Like, do your own research, you know, come to your own consensus and then ask questions. Anyway. No, but I was sitting there. Sorry, I was standing up at the whiteboard, and we spent probably, what they were bringing me in for was to go help them build more leads from the internet, increase their sales. It's the same things that everyone always wants from me. They want their offers to sell better on the internet, and there's probably going to be a funnel involved, right? And so I'm standing in front of this whiteboard, and I'm starting to ask all these questions, and I'm guiding them through my process so we can get clarity on it. And there was one of these guys. They had all the decision makers in the room. One of these guys stood up. He raised his hand to kind of like stop me. He was not asking permission. You know, he's like, "Hey," like he like held his hand up, and then he stood up and he goes, "I mean, I had only been there for like 2 or 3 hours, but we were kind of on the same topic." And he goes, "Steven," he kind of yelled, "we can sit here and we can pontificate on who our customer really is all day. We can sit here and talk about the market. We could draw these little circles that you draw to try to figure out where they are. Honestly, I don't get it. Why are we doing this? This makes no sense to me. Let's get to the actual matter at hand. I kind of, you know," and he was like, "I kind of feel like this is like wasting my time." And I was like, "All right." And I said, I just smiled and I was like, "I 100% understand the fact that this does probably not make any sense to you. It's going to look like it's weird for a little while until suddenly it all clicks together." I told him, "My job is to row us through the fog, right? And we're on a rowboat. You're in the fog and you've gotten me, you've asked me to come in to get you out of the fog." I was like, "It's going to look like it's still fog for a little while. And so when you see it, all of your marketing is going to become easier." Now, what I was doing on the board with him was I was helping him gain clarity on the customer and the market. Those are two separate things. And I really wish that someone had told me this when I was going through my marketing degree, because we were taught that was the same thing in school. And I find that a lot of funnel builders still think it's the same thing. A customer and a market are not the same thing. People are not places. Customers are not markets. Markets are places. So it's the place you find the customer. Does that make sense? So, and saying, "My customer's in Facebook." Facebook is not a market. It's a business. Right. So it's one of those concepts that is a little bit elusive in the internet marketing space, because the internet gives us access to, like, you know, global reach. So it can kind of be challenging to separate those two out. But anyway, what happened was we kept going, and about 2 or 3 hours later, he was like, "Oh," he's like, "I get it." He's like, "This makes so much sense to me now." He's like, "Oh my gosh." He's like, "It's safe to," it's funny, but he's like, "It's safe to say that we've actually never had any marketing in our business. Now that I understand the difference between the two, and I understand that we've never had clarity on the customer, we're kind of just taking anyone. And I was like, yeah, that is why you have a hard time with leads. That's why you're having a hard time with sales. And that's why your cost of acquisition is so high. It's so funny, you know, this actually came up yesterday. I was doing a training, about 500 people. I was helping everybody see in there that marketing's impossible. It's pretty much impossible. And if it's not impossible, it's really expensive in either time or money. If you don't have clarity on the customer and the market being two separate things, when you get those two things figured out, most of the rest of marketing questions start to ask, answer themselves. It's a little slight like marketing Mad Libs by that point, you know? Anytime someone says like a webinar.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Don't work or whatever. And I start getting into the types of questions that I do. And I'm like, I know exactly why it's not working for you, right? Or some of the funnels don't work. I'm like, why don't we just take a little bit of a, let's just take a little gander here at your stuff. Because my gut is saying that you actually have no idea who your customer is. You're so hungry for cash that you'll take anyone with a wallet and willingness. And that is not how you find a customer, just so y'all know, right? And so I find this has very a prominent thought inside the funnel space, where the funnel space, and I'm not judging, but I am pointing. I'm just saying, you know, I made an offer, I built a funnel, right? So we can check the box on the entrepreneur mentality. We can check the box on the funnel building mentality, two very different mentalities. And then you say, "Hey, well, how did it go? How'd the launch go?" "Oh man, nobody like really even opted in or saw it. So weird. And it's a good funnel and so-and-so blessed off on it. And it's a great offer and it helps a lot of people." And I'm just here to tell you, like, this is going to be a short episode, like without fail. Every single time I see a funnel not work, there's literally a plethora of reasons why the funnel could not be working, and I kind of have to get in there and like get my hands dirty and look at stats and data and all that kind of stuff. But and you let the numbers speak, otherwise I'm guessing. But I will say that the common thread in all of them. There might be the little nuances and the little differences, but the absolute 100% common thread that they at least all have, at a minimum, all have in common, is lack of clarity on the customer and lack of clarity on the market. And marketing is next to impossible without those two as a foundation. And then you can go do a challenge or a webinar or an event or a masterclass or a VSL or a little ebook or whatever. Like, all marketing strategies, acquisition strategies that you've heard of really start to become a cinch when you have those two in, because you know how to talk to people, you know how to get them in, you also know how to repel the nightmare. If there's such thing as a dream customer, I've said this multiple times, there's also such thing as a nightmare customer, there's a hell customer, right? Most marketers out there have no idea about this concept and this the reality that marketing is both a magnet and a filter. That's what hooks really are, right? And instead, most people just build magnets, more magnets. I'm gonna attract more, attract more, attract more, attract more. It's like, well, that's not actually, you're going to attract the wrong fish, right? And suddenly you're building a business that you hate because the customer that's coming in is somebody you don't want to work with. You have to have a magnet and a filter in marketing. Anyway, this is going to be a short episode. I have a call I'm supposed to be on a minute ago. And I don't really want to get on it. I'm driving back from dropping my kids off school. And I was like, I would rather do a podcast episode and drop to you guys one of the biggest principles that I constantly, I mean, it happened yesterday. This very scenario I'm talking about happened yesterday. And people fight it. And they're like, well, I just have to have a good offer. And I'm like, okay, yeah, as an entrepreneur, but when you start talking about marketing, any marketer that doesn't understand a lick of copy, they're not a marketer, they're a promoter. And any marketer that doesn't understand the fact that the market is different than the person, and the fact that that's actually how you market, right? And marketers, sure, they use strategies like funnels and stuff like that, but that's really the sales job, and it's really more the funnel job mentality. To be a marketer, deals in everything that's before page one of the funnel. How do you get them to the funnel? Well, it is absolutely a nebulous mystery if you don't know the difference between your customer and your market. And when I say like clarity on the customer, most of the time, I really got to go to this call, but most of the time what happens is these people are, my customer is someone who's age 25 and they live over here. That's not customer, that's demographics. That's not what I'm talking about. You need psychographics. Ugh, all right, they're calling me. All right, guys, I gotta go. But that's freaking good stuff right there. Okay, all right. I'll circle back to that topic another time, or just literally come to one of my events. It'll change your life.
The first real dollar I ever made online was actually with affiliate marketing 12 years ago. Since then, I've collected over $1 million in commissions using organic strategies. I've written chapters on affiliate marketing in others' books, placed in many leaderboards, won lots of awards and trips and goodies like a truck, and even been approached by some of the largest affiliate marketplaces on earth to learn my unique affiliate methods. But funny enough, it wasn't until a few months ago that it actually hit me, oh my gosh, I think I'm a professional affiliate. So by popular demand, I'm excited to finally announce Affiliate Hacks at affiliatehacks.com. It'll walk you through my unique sales strategy, marketing strategy, and funnel method, as well as how I choose what to affiliate for, because I'm very picky. I'll teach you how I use affiliate marketing in a broader business strategy and how I develop my bonuses to compete with top affiliates. It's all about leads and sales, plus very minimal funnel skills, which it'll walk through. All swipes are included. Affiliate marketing lets you focus on the skills of what to do with the offer once you have it. It's like marketing training wheels. If you look it up, affiliate marketing is projected to nearly double by 2030. The world is catching up with this concept, which means you get to ride the wave. Go check out the short free presentation at affiliatehacks.com to learn how to put affiliate marketing in your business.